radio. Here we go, Michelle. Thank you.
Dr. LaRue?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me do my little intro here. We've been trying. I'm glad we caught you. How we don't even need an explanation on the air here as to how we did it, but let me just tell our listeners that if the summer heat is getting to you and ice and snow sounds kind of refreshing, well, there's something else you can do. You can count seals in Antarctica, but you'll need air conditioning at home to stay cool because you'll be counting right from your couch via satellite images. Now we have on the line to tell us about it and how it worked, Dr. Michelle LaRue, a research ecologist in the University of Minnesota's Department of Earth Sciences and lead researcher on this project, which is called Satellites Over Seals. Well, Michelle or Dr. LaRue, would you please tell us how this program possibly came about?
That's a great question. Really, it came about by, it was a lot of discussion and kind of just hemming and hawing over how we could get this done. And what we wanted to be able to do was determine how many seals there are in Antarctica. And the reason for that is it's never been done before. And of course, Antarctica has a coastline that's 11,000 miles long. And so being able to figure out how many seals there are would take a really long time. And so we asked the crowd, the public, to help us out. Because there's literally no other way that we could get this done. And so we're really happy and thankful that people want to look at the satellite images for us.
Okay, so these are satellite images, and folks are looking at them on their computer screen, and they're counting seals that they can see on these things. Now, how can that possibly work? I mean, how many photos are there? How are they numbered? How does people actually sit down and provide information to you that's actually useful?
Yeah, so what we do is we partnered with a group called TOMNOD, T-O-M-N-O-D, and they work with Digital Globe, which is the company that actually owns all the satellite images. And so what they do is they take the imagery and put it up on a platform where people can access it. And so that's how we're having people able to do this. People can just go on to tomnod.com and check out our website or check out our project. And what happens is you go there and after a couple of clicks, you get sent to a random location in our study area and you just kind of start searching around. And so what you'll typically see is some white ice. It's probably the first thing that you'll see. And then you start scrolling. And as soon as you find a crack in the ice, I always tell people to follow the crack in the ice because that's where you will find the seals. And to get to the question about how this is helpful, what ends up happening is when you see a seal, we ask you to tag it. So there's a little blue button a little tag that you can place on top of every seal. And that's how we can figure out how many there are and in where they're located.
Okay,
and
so
that's really helpful.
If I'm one of these people and I go on and I tag my seal, nobody else needs to tag it or can tag it even.
Yeah, well, actually, what people do is we'll have a couple people look at the same location.
Okay.
After we have enough people looking at the same spot, then we just put away that image and no one has to look at it anymore.
Okay, I want to come back to this technological part of it here, but I want to ask you next, why are you doing this for Weddell seals?
So Weddell seals are an important environmental indicator. So what that means is by understanding how many seals there are and where they're located, that gives us an idea of how healthy the Southern Ocean is. And in this case, we're focusing on a part of the Southern Ocean called the Ross Sea. And that's an area that's one of the most pristine locations, pristine bodies of water in the world. And the reason we're so curious about the Ross Sea is there's a lot of fishing going on there for a fish that's called the Antarctic toothfish. And if you don't recognize that name, you might recognize the name Chilean sea bass, which mm-hmm. is something that we like to eat. And so, in other words, we're fishing for something that the Weddell seals find as their prey as well. So what we want to make sure that we're doing here is understanding how many seals there are to determine whether or not fishing is having an impact in the Ross Sea.
So what you're counting now, will this be a baseline number then?
Yeah, well, actually, we're going to be able to do this over several years because we have so many people involved and interested. We can actually look at how many seals there are throughout the entire Ross Sea over about the last 10 years or so.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All the photos are obviously dated. Give me an idea of how many photos there are, because I would think there would be a way that you could do computer scanning or something like that. Or how many are there that people have to look at?
We have about 120 photos that we're interested in having people look at. But keep in mind that these are satellite images, and so they cover a huge space. This is, hundreds of square miles a piece. So there's a lot of space to cover, and that's the reason we need so many people to help us out.
What other animals are there that could be mistaken for wood elves?
So you might be able to see some emperor penguins on the sea ice, which are much smaller than wood elf seals, but they also look like little black dots hanging out on the ice. And other seals that you may see, but it'll be a lot less likely, are either crab-eater seals and maybe a leopard seal, but those are both are pretty rare in this location at this time of year. So there's really only a few things that you might see. But other things you might see, actually, you might see trucks on the ice. You might see some tents or some ice huts. So there's lots of other infrastructure that you might be able to see.
Did you say trucks on the ice?
Yep. Yeah. That's
What's
right.
That
if you're
all
close
about?
Enough, yeah, if you're close enough to McMurdo Station, you might be able to see some trucks or other vehicles hanging out on the ice.
So these 150 or whatever the number was of photos you picked now, does that cover the whole of Antarctica?
No, we're just focusing on the Ross Sea right now.
The Ross Sea, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it's about 200-300 miles worth of coastline, which is a lot of coastline. But what we're trying to figure out right now is, first of all, how good we are at estimating populations, and then be able to figure out how the seals have changed in their populations over the past 10 years.
Do you have any reason to believe, other than the fact that humans are fishing for the same food source, that the seals are in either decline or a rise?
Well, the other concern that we have is the fact that these animals are dependent on sea ice, much like emperor penguins are. And so as the climate continues to change and warm up, there's a concern that their sea ice habitat may change to the point where they may need to move, or it may impact their populations. And so that's another concern on top of the fishing.
Well, there's lots of ice down there, right? I mean, I wouldn't think you're going to run out of ice for seals. Why? How can that be?
Well, so there's actually a difference in the types of ice, specifically on the sea ice, actually, in Antarctica. So the fast ice is called that because it's fastened to the continent. So it's basically attached right to the continent. And that's where you find wet elf seals. But the rest of the sea ice is called pack ice, and that's kind of out in the open ocean. And those are two very different pieces of habitat, and the wet elf seals need the fast ice. And so when you hear about the sea ice expanding in Antarctica, they're talking about the pack ice. And we know very little about how the fast ice might change. And so that's why it's so important to understand where these animals are and how they're doing, because we really have no idea what to expect with their fast ice habitat.
If this is fast ice, what are they doing sitting next to cracks?
Yeah, so that's the only way they can get in and out of the ocean. where you end up finding seals are in the cracks in the ice, but also near land or grounded icebergs or islands, because what ends up happening is the sea ice will crack on its own, and it provides a place where they can get in and out of the ocean. And the reason that's critical is the other reason the fast ice is so important for them is because it gets them away from orcas, which are their main predators. And so the farther into the fast ice they can get, farther away from the ice edge, the more protected they are. So,
and why do they go into to get out of the sea? After they're feeding, they're not feeding on when they're out of the sea, I gather.
Right, exactly. So that's a good question. The reason they are hauled out on the ice is because they're giving birth to their pups. And so the population that we're able to study at the time of year that we're looking at the imagery, which is actually in November, those happen to be animals that are likely hauled out and they're raising their pups. So it's the breeding population that we're able to look at.
It's just before 6 o'clock, and I'm speaking with Dr. Michelle LaRue, a research ecologist at the University of Minnesota Department of Earth Science, telling us about a program called Satellites Over Seals for eliciting public help in counting seals. Let's go to now, Dr. LaRue, where do people go to learn about possibly contributing and signing up to help?
That's a great question. We if you just go to www.tomnod.com, that's T-O-M-N-O-D, that means big I in Mongolian. If you go to tomnod.com, we will be the first thing that you see. And so you can just click on searching for Weddell seals in Antarctica. And what will happen is you'll see a couple little pieces of instructions telling you what we're interested in and how to help out. And then you are sent somewhere randomly onto the sea ice, and you can start just kind of panning around. And as soon as you see what you think is a seal, you can just start tagging it and move along and do that. And we've had a lot of success already. We've already had more than 2,000 people helping us out.
Really?
And yeah, and our it's been viewed, I think, more than 500,000 times. So wow. we're doing well so far.
That's great. And let me just ask you, because there's some beautiful pictures of the seals also. I assume you've probably been actually down there in Antarctica and seen these seals. Am I right? I have.
Yeah, I have. I've been to Antarctica 6 times. Five times I've been to McMurdo Station, which is right where Erebus Bay is, and there's a lot of seals in that location. So I've seen a lot of seals in Erebus Bay. And then I've also been on the peninsula, the Antarctic Peninsula, just once. And there's a lot fewer seals there because there's a lot less sea ice there.
Huh.
So I've seen kind of the differences in the different habitats. And so it'll be interesting to see how these counts end up going.
And right now down there, is it total darkness?
It is. Let's see. Yep.
So there's no satellite images being taken at the moment.
No satellite images being taken at the moment. Yeah, these images are what we call optical images, meaning the mm-hmm. sunlight has to be above their horizon quite a bit. So no satellite images right now. And so the images that we're looking at are, I think the most recent is probably last November. And the oldest one we have, I think, is all the way back to 2004. So
okay, so you'll be able to see some patterns there that might tell you whether there's a decline or not.
Exactly. We should be able to with that amount of time, or at the very least be able to see, which populations are going up and down and where they're located. And if they move from place to place from, between the different years. So it'll be really interesting to see.
And what do we know about how long seals live, these particular seals?
We know, so the population in Erebus Bay, the one that I've been to by visiting McMurdo Station, that population has been studied every single year since about 1967. So that's the whole reason we know a lot about these animals. And so because this population's been studied for such a long time, we know that they can live up to 30 years. And there seems to be, for example, some particular animals are what we call supermoms. So there's one animal who we think is 31 or 32 years old, and she's had more than 20 pups. And we know that every once in a while, if the environment turns poor, so if there's a really bad sea ice year or if there's a warm year, we know that they will temporarily emigrate, so they'll move out of McMurdo Sound, but then they'll come back later.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason we know this is because of the long-term study that's been going on down there.
And what would be for you the real basic reason for wanting to protect those seals?
Well, the reason I guess I'd want to know about them more so is just to get a broader understanding of what the Southern Ocean is doing and how the ecosystem may be changing with mm-hmm. climate change, obviously, mm-hmm. and with the fisheries. So the seals provide us with the ability to do that. And in addition to that, they're really cool animals. They're what I call an extreme mammal. They're the southernmost breeding mammal in the world, and so they are perfectly adapted to living in this really, really harsh climate. And so even though we know a lot about them in Erebus Bay, we know nothing about them anywhere else mm-hmm. on the continent. Mm-hmm. So this is providing us with a lot of firsts.
Sure. I gotcha. All right. Well, I've been talking to Dr. Michelle LaRue, research ecologist at the University of Minnesota Department of Earth Sciences. It's a wonderful project you've got going there, a very interesting subject, satellites over seals. If you missed the tomnod.com, Tom was T as in Thomas, that's the place to look it up. But we'll also put it on our website next week when we do, we store all, we archive all these interviews, and you'll be archived there, and people can look at it then and catch up on how to become a seal counter.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds great. Thank you.
It's a great program. Thank you so much for talking with us, Dr. LaRue.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Bye-bye.